If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Very nervous. We're going to ask Lacey to start her video. There we go. Ah, it's Lacey!
I see you.
It's actual Lacey. Now, we might have to change something here. Hang on one second. Can we hear you?
Can you hear me?
Yes!
Yes, you can. Let me just... Hang on a minute.
Amazing.
What you didn't know is that I actually... Because this is the first time we've met. But that I actually look like Brett Michaels.
Just like him.
I have this really strong desire to arm wrestle her to get with you.
Do you know what? There's no arm wrestling required. You can have him.
Shut the front door. What is this? I have, you know, I'm also a police officer
I
as
mean,
well.
Yeah,
so
he's multifaceted.
Lacey, how the devil are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for asking. Even better now. It's nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you.
Look
too.
At that. You've got your Christmas stockings up there. What does that one say at the back?
Bar humbug.
Bar humbug. Come on, man.
Of course. I have to blame my husband for that one. He has more of like a cynical sense of humor, even worse than I do.
Wow.
Rock of Love was when was your season? Season one. Was that 2007?
You were correct.
Oh my, so, that was ages ago. I didn't think it was that.
We only just discovered it, right?
Yeah.
Like literally 2 months ago
so
by
this
accident.
This is new for us. We're still quite excited about it.
This is brand new for us. And we've done all three seasons in 4 weeks,
yeah.
5 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Wow.
I'm impressed.
I've got so much to ask you.
Yeah. I mean, you lived through extraordinary times, Lacey.
Absolutely. How did you guys discover the show?
It was on Amazon Prime. So I was looking I had a friend over and, you know, everyone's completed Netflix and Amazon with the lockdown. Everything has been watched and seen. And we were watching a movie with a rock band in. And then it said, oh, you like this? You might like this. Rock of Love, Brett Michaels from Poison. So, of course, and it's horrendous. It's hilarious. It's awful.
It's shocking.
It's the most addictive thing I've ever seen in my life. How did you get involved in it?
So, okay, the production company that produced Rock of Love, they're called 51 Minds. And of course, the original network was VH1 back in the day. And so 51 Minds, before Rock of Love, they did Flavor of Love with Flavor Flav. And prior to that, they had a show called Surreal Life. Are you guys familiar with Surreal Life?
That rings a bell. I don't think I ever watched it, but it was one of the first reality TV things.
I'm aware of Flavor of Love because I've been told a woman does a poo on the floor in there. Haven't seen that yet. But yes, Surreal Life, I've heard of it. I don't think I've seen it.
Okay, so this is how I got started. This is how I got drawn into this whole entire crazy reality world. So Surreal Life was an amazing reality show produced by the same producers as Rock of Love, Flavor of Love, blah, blah, blah. And basically the premise was you have all of these interesting celebrities, if you will, who live in a house together and let's watch all their crazy shenanigans. But it was great. It was a great cast. Every season was somebody different. It was anyone from like Vince Neil from Motley Crue to Adrienne Curry, who won America's Top Model.
Top Model, yeah, I remember her.
Yeah. And I mean, Tammy Faye Baker, who was part of a whole scandal in the 90s with her husband, Jim Baker, who was a televangelist who got caught like banging.
Yes.
Yeah, Tammy Faye Baker was on there. Just like anybody imaginable. Oh, MC Hammer, do you guys, this is going to
Yes, we know
Hammer. Can't touch this.
What time is it?
Yeah.
Hammer time, isn't it?
Yeah, Vanilla Ice. I mean, yeah, you got it. Yeah, Ice Ice Baby. So it was just, these were the types of characters that were on these shows, Surreal Life, and they were so much fun. And so from there, Flavor Flav was introduced to the reality TV world because he was on one of the final seasons of Surreal Life. The same season that Flavor Flav was on, Bridget Nielsen was also on.
Wow.
And Bridget Nielsen, who's like this 9 foot tall Norwegian goddess, and she and Flavor Flav, of all people, ended up hooking up.
They did. I remember that. That was like a fever dream, but it
happened. I do remember that. Yes, yes.
It was nuts. And so from there, the production company decided to create the show Strangelove, which starred Bridget Nielsen and Flavor Flav. And then from there, they went with Flavor of Love. So I was addicted to all of those shows. I was just super, super into them. And at the time when all these shows were happening, I had been doing music. I'd been touring around the US in a rock band since I was 18 years old. And that was kind of my thing. And I found out about the casting of Rock of Love. And I sort of just did it like, oh, that could be fun. You know, let's see. And so when I did the audition, I ended up getting cast for it. And I almost chickened out. I almost backed out and didn't do it because I was like, I don't know, my career, musician, I won't be taken seriously.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I need to get over myself. That's stupid. Like, how often do you get an amazing opportunity to be on a freaking reality show like this? So there you have it.
If you hear a cat meowing, I've got 4 cats, Lacey.
Aww.
And I've also kind of taken in a stray.
Who's, and he is loud.
I've had his balls chopped off and he's kind of not, doesn't really want to be here. So if you hear him meowing, there's not cat torture. It's just big boy is kicking off. Anyway. So
I love it. I'm an animal person. So
really? Have you got pets?
I have 4 dogs.
Oh.
I have 3 Great Danes. And then, and yeah, I'm like, my husband and I don't have kids. We have dogs. I have 3 Great Danes and then plus 1 little guy that we got from the SPCA. He's like a little King Charles Cavalier mix or something.
Beautiful.
So, yeah.
So when did you know? Because this is the thing. I've been listening to your podcast, right? Talk of Love. And we're going to put all the links in the chat in a minute. And when I'm locked out of Twitter, once they let me back into Twitter, I'll tweet them. But we'll put all the links. And we've been talking about it for the last week or so. So the first episode I heard was you talking to Christy Joe from season 2. And you say to her, I've learned so much from this. Did you know it was going to be Bret Michaels? And she said, oh, no, I thought it would be Tommy Lee. So did you know it was going to be Bret Michaels? What did you know when you went for the show?
I did, but I'm sort of a hard ass, surprising, about getting information and having like a little bit of control of my destiny. So when I was auditioning for the show, originally they didn't want to tell me who it was.
Right.
And then I was like, well, I don't know if I want to do the show then. Like, how can I base a decision not even knowing who the person is? Like, what if it's somebody that I hate? Or what if it's, you know, like, God only knows, you know?
Right.
So I didn't really want to take that gamble. So I was kind of being wishy-washy anyway. As I said, I was starting to kind of chicken out a little bit. But then they eventually could tell that I really needed this information to make a decision. So they just said, all right, it's Bret Michaels, but we... but please don't tell anybody. And the funny thing is, the same thing happened when I did Charm School with Sharon Osbourne, because prior to my season of Charm School with Sharon Osbourne, there was a Charm School with the Flavor of Love girls, and the host of that was Monique, the comedian, and comedian slash actress, I guess I should say. So I thought Monique was cool, but she wasn't anybody that I particularly resonated with. I didn't really know her. I wasn't that familiar with her work. So when the producers asked me to do Charm School, I was like, well, who's the host gonna be? And they're like, well, we can't really say. And I'm like, well, I guess I can't commit to doing it then. And they're like, okay, we can tell you, but just don't tell anybody. I'm like, man, you guys fold quick. And so they told me it was Sharon Osbourne. I'm like, fuck yeah. Am I allowed to curse?
You can say fuck. Yeah, of course you can. We expected nothing less from you, Lacey.
Right.
We've seen everything. Yeah.
So much beeping, it sounds like Morse code. So yeah, I was like, fuck yeah, I love Sharon Osbourne, I love Ozzy, so I'm like, absolutely, I'm in. I forgot what you asked me.
No, it doesn't matter.
No, but do you know what I find really impressive? The fact that you managed to get the producers to play your game rather than the other way around. Because watching it now, part of the shock factor is, my God, you watch it now and it seems like such a long time ago. Some of the things that they're asking you to do, some of the manipulation that was at work. I mean, thank God that you saw through it pretty early on and they knew they couldn't mess with you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's interesting because I didn't realize until I did the podcast. You know, I mean, you generally only see the world through your own perspective because that's the only perspective that you truly have. And then you really have to go outside of yourself to see other people's perspectives. And sometimes you do that and other times you don't. So for me, being on Rock of Love was so much fun. I had a great time. I loved every aspect of it. And when I brought some of the girls on to the podcast, I was shocked at how many of them said it was really, some of them even used the word trauma. It was a traumatic experience. And I was like, wow, that's so crazy that I just assumed everybody shared the same experience that I did, but like, of course not, you know? So what I started realizing among talking to these girls, because I had a little bit of an advantage because I had been doing show business and entertainment in one form or another prior to the show. So for me, whenever I see cameras, I'm like, all right, it's showtime, you know, let the devil.
And you're at work, right? As far as you see it, you're at work. Now I'm working. It's not right.
Absolutely. And so in normal day-to-day life, in real life, if you will, I am a relatively guarded person. So I'm not really one that wants to put my vulnerabilities and my insecurities out there anyway. So that is sort of normal to my personality, unless you really know me, you know? So going on the show, like, of course I wasn't going to be like, oh, here's my vulnerable self. You know, I'm wearing my heart on my sleeve. I would never do that anyway. So I sort of created this character that, to be honest, was completely influenced by Tiffany Pollard, AKA New York, from Flavor of Love, and that show, which I was obsessed with before I even got to audition for Rock of Love. So I just thought she was so freaking cool. And she just ran that house. You know, she called herself the HBIC, head bitch in charge. So I was like, that's the way to do this, you know? And so I went and started going with this character. And then the producers would, you know, pull me aside every so often, be like, Lacey, this is brilliant. Good job. Keep it up, you know? And so that's what I did. So in hindsight, in analyzing everything through this podcast that I've been doing this year, in hindsight, I'm realizing that doing that character had more benefits than I even realized while I was doing it. One of the benefits is it sort of creates a shield. You know, people can attack you, but they're not really attacking you. They're attacking Lacey from Rock of Love, not Lacey Skulls, the individual.
A character. So
And it was like, it really was a protection. I wasn't putting myself out there, whereas the other girls were really being their true vulnerable selves. So then, of course, they felt duped and burned and taken advantage of and exploited, of course.
And some of them were really young, weren't they? And they hadn't had much experience of life. It was like their first time away, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there was one that was like 3. Another one was, she was like 4.
It was the Christy Joe episode
Christy Joe had a hard time in there.
She had a hard time. And she says in the podcast, The Talk of Love, and I've just posted the links in the chat, guys, so go and have a little look at those links. It's a great podcast as well. You can either watch it on YouTube or you can download it as a listen to podcast, and it's great. If you've seen any of these shows, go and have a listen to it. But Christy Joe talks about how there would be shots of her crying, and that was because she'd said to the producers, I've had enough, I'm leaving. And then they'd wave the contract in her face and say, well, if you leave, we're going to sue you for $1 million. Now, I heard this after we'd seen the whole 3 seasons. So for us, it was all a bit of fun and maybe some sadness. Maybe there were some people with alcohol issues there who perhaps shouldn't have been there. But hearing that from Christy Joe, it kind of puts a whole different perspective on what it was for a lot of the women. Yeah. Not for you. And not, there were some that obviously thrived on it and enjoyed it and, you know, took it for what it was. But for some people, it was,
there would be a huge scandal if that came out now.
Yeah.
That would be a huge scandal because it's quite obvious that that is manipulation, and that's kind of, that's holding someone to ransom, literally, isn't it?
And so you were shocked to hear that when you spoke to some of the women that have been on there.
Yes. Another one, Sam from season 1, Rock of Love, had a very hard time. She was crying all the time and wanting to leave and begging the producers to let her leave. I will say, to play devil's advocate, that we were given a contract like that thick when we went into the show, and it basically said that they could exploit us in any way that they wanted to. It was pretty, I mean, it was, you know how contracts are. It's a bunch of lawyers speak, you know, and sometimes you have to actually have a lawyer to decipher it for you. But I mean, it laid it out very, very clear. There was no question whatsoever how this was going to be. But I really feel like a lot of the girls, without consciously thinking this, but on some level, I think they were kind of looking at this as like a documentary. And they were like, it's going to be, but to me, it was always a competition. It was always a show. And it was always a game. That was all that it was for me.
Yeah, it really frightens me. And I think maybe we've become hardened to it because reality TV is, you know, in its like third or fourth incarnation now, right? But it frightens me to death when you get someone going on a reality show and saying, I'm just going to be myself. Because you think, oh man, you're laying yourself wide open.
But we'll get to the fun stuff in a minute, I promise. But I did a reality show over here, as I said in the email. And I was the same as you. I knew, the first day I got there, it was in a jungle. The first day I got there, I worked out where all the cameras were because I was being paid quite a bit of money to entertain, you know. And so when I knew I was being filmed, I was on because that's what they didn't want me just sat there going, oh, man, this is so boring. I gave them what they paid for. And you did the same thing as well. And obviously it's paid off. Can I ask, though? Was Bret Michaels, did he have a girlfriend at the time?
So there was a moment about a week into the filming of the show, and I was still kind of feeling things out, and I really wanted to know how far I should push this villain character, or is there some part of me that should be like fighting for Bret's love? I was just trying to figure out how to find the balance.
Right.
But there was a moment where I was with Bret, and none of the other girls were around, which was rare. I happened to catch him where it was just him and me, and there was cameras on us, and I really wanted to ask him this one question, which I'm about to ask. But I was like, you know, can I ask him this? Should I ask him this? But I was like, fuck it. You know, even though the cameras are here, if they don't want it shown, they'll just edit it out. This isn't really for anybody, but for me to figure out how to play the game. So the question was, when it was just me and Bret, I said, so Bret, can I ask you a question? And he was like, yeah, sure. And I said, you really, honestly, you don't have a girlfriend at all? Like, you're really here looking for love. You really don't have a girlfriend? Because it was too hard for me to believe. Because he's such a good looking guy. Under some people's standards. He is a successful guy. He's a nice guy. He's charismatic. Yeah. He's humble. He's not arrogant at all. He's a good dude. And so I just found it hard to believe, you know, that he couldn't get a girl. So I asked him that just point blank. And he was like, well... And I was like, aha, there it is. And he goes, I am in an on again, off again relationship with the mother of my two children. That was his exact word. So I was like, wow, I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate you telling me that. And it was great. That was such a key piece of information for me personally. And as I predicted, they didn't show that. I had a feeling they weren't going to. It would ruin the whole show. So, but it was important for me to figure out, okay, now I know what my game plan is.
Yeah. I think the moment that shocked us most, and there were plenty of shocking moments,
was when that French woman showed her fanny off.
Oh, that didn't shock me at all. I saw her on Celebrity Big Brother, so I'd seen it all before. No, there was a bit at the end with the reunion. The reunion shows for me seemed like the most real, right?
God, the reunion shows.
And it was when all of a sudden, right, this girl who has been vying for his attention for all this time, this whole thing, came in and she looked broken and she revealed that they hadn't seen each other for months. He hadn't even walked her back to the hotel. He sort of dropped her off, mafia style, rolled her out into the street.
Incredible.
That didn't seem like that was the way it was going to go from the very kind of sexy atmosphere that kind of show created. There's hints that there was more going on behind the scenes and that Bret was, you know, working his way through all the women, basically. That was really shocking to us. We thought, how much of that is real then?
Yeah.
That's a great observation. You're 100% right. It was surprising to me. I think the person you're referring to is Jess, the girl with the pink hair.
So and he said something like, I wasn't allowed to walk you up there. It's like, well, hang on a minute.
You're Bret Michaels from Poison.
He's been making out that he's been screwing all the girls in the house. So what now? He's not allowed to be alone with you?
Right, yeah. So I was surprised by that only from the perspective of, again, I was a fan of Flavor of Love. So from my perspective, the reason I knew this couldn't be completely real, that was my suspicion, was because Flavor of Love won. Flavor Flav went through all the 20 girls. He found his love. You know, the end of the show, yay, we're, you know, Flav and Hoops are together. And then season 2 rolls on. Oh, it didn't work out with Hoops. So we're going to try again with these other 20 girls. Like, yay, Delicious wins. Yay, Flav and Delicious. Oh, that didn't work out either. Flavor of Love 3. And I'm like, I see a pattern here.
Yes.
So that was my mindset going in. It was surprising to me, the girls that really fell for him and thought this was going to be real. But then again, you know, I'm placing my own, own observations onto them. Maybe they didn't watch Flavor of Love. Maybe they didn't do the homework that I did. But yeah, Jess was like really super into him. Heather was really super into
him. Wow, you can tell.
She told me that after Rock of Love, she told me that she went into a deep depression.
Right.
That was her exact words. Jess was really devastated by the whole thing too. And as I said, I think they just believed that this was going to be a real thing. Now, I don't know if Brett could have handled it better or not. I don't know if there's any blame to place on him, because at the same time, Brett had a contract with the production company. The production company was very strict in what we could and couldn't do, and things we could say, how we could behave. They were really strict about that. So most likely that wasn't even Brett's doing. Most likely that was the producers. And I will tell you, I don't mean to speak for Brett, because in no way am I trying to claim that like I know Brett Michaels. But based on what I do know of him, I would imagine that is not what he intended to happen. He probably was surprised and upset by that as well.
Yeah.
Everything I've read of Brett Michaels in interviews, he's saying like, I just wanted to have a great time. I wanted the girls to have a great time. It was supposed to be a show where everyone's having fun, everyone's partying, everyone's having a blast. I bet you he probably didn't even anticipate these girls would fall for him as hard as they did.
Yeah. What was the aftercare like? Did you get help? Did you have like a psychiatrist that came and deprogrammed you afterwards? Did you get told how to handle the fame?
I mean, were you even offered it, you know?
No, not at all. And it was a real trip. I will tell you, it was a freaking trip. Afterwards, I remember one of the strangest things that started happening, because we filmed the show and then there's 4 months that you just have to sit there and wait and wonder how this is going to all be until the show airs. And then when it starts airing, every week that it's on television, it's like your world changes every day. It's a trip. And I do remember like going to the grocery store and just walking like across the parking lot, and people would be going, Lacey. And I'm like, who is that? And you expect it to be either a friend of mine, the neighbor, they're my aunt, like or something like that. And then you're looking around, you're like, I don't see anybody I know. And then you see strangers waving at you. And you're like, who is that? Like, oh, they know me from the show. And that takes getting used to. It's really, really weird at first.
Did you get any abuse? Because you were, for those who haven't seen it, and we've talked about it for the whole...
She was the quote-unquote villain.
You were the villain of the piece. You were the pantomime villain. And you did some horrible, horrible things, which of course was egged on by the producers. I know how this stuff works. And, you know, there's a camera on you. I'll give them something entertaining. But did you get any abuse after the show?
Here's what's interesting. Online, yes. They basically fell into two categories. They either thought I was this awesome badass, or they just hated my guts online. Like people were like saying they wished I was dead, like terrible things. But I figured that's par for the course. But out in the real world, it was very unusual for people to be shitty to my face. That was unusual. Usually what people would say is I would get a couple of like the same questions over and over. They'd come up like, oh my God, you're Lacey from Rock Love. I'm like, hey. And they would always ask like if the show was real, was it scripted? And then are you really that crazy? Which is a really funny thing to come up and ask a total show. Are you really that crazy? So, but I always had fun with it. You know, I was like, well, you know, not ever since they let me out of the mental hospital, you know? And then the next thing that they would always say is they go, oh, you were my favorite. I love to hate you. I always had to tune in to see what you were going to do next. That was always what people would say. There was one time that I can think of. There's probably two or three times where people were shitty in my face, but one time it actually stands out in my mind. I was living in Los Angeles, but I was visiting Las Vegas, and I was in the hotel, and I was walking from the hotel across the little walkway to get in the cab, and I was by myself. And so I know that in the UK, the word cunt isn't really that offensive. But
sorry,
in-
what's that called? What?
Is that right?
It's not as offensive as it is in the States. In Scotland, you'd say it like, all right, mate, all right. But it's still quite offensive. But yes, go on.
Yeah, in the US, it's a very jarring word.
Yeah.
So I'm walking from, you know, across a little walkway, and I hear this girl. I actually saw her in my peripheral because she was like, all done up, like super hottie, you know, and she had a drink in her hand, so she was probably buzzed. And I just, as I'm walking past her, I hear her go, oh my God, there's that cunt from that show. I was like,
wow, no.
And so, that's, you know, in terrible. That moment where your brain goes like 1,000 miles per hour, like going through all the options of what you should do.
Yes.
I was like, you know what? The best thing for me to do is just keep walking and pretend like I didn't even hear. Like,
that's
don't even
terrible.
You know, but it is. But for me, it wasn't expected. I played a villain. Of course, that's going to happen. But the majority was not that, though.
Yeah. And also, I suppose it was kind of before Twitter really took off as well, because you'd have been destroyed on Twitter 13 years ago. Jesus, full of assholes. But it is that thing, you've been on TV, so people think they own you, and they don't. And also they think you're like that. And what I've got from listening to the podcast is you are a very intelligent, very thoughtful, very funny, you know, very head screwed on woman, which is doesn't really tie in with the image from the TV show, but because that's a TV show from a long time ago and it was edited and you were playing a character and you know, you're a smart cookie and you get that from I'm hearing you in the podcast as opposed to, you know, I don't think it's you in the TV show. It's you in the podcast, Talk of Love.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying all that. Thank you so much. You know, I'm really grateful that people can be cruel towards people on reality shows or celebrities. I mean, case in point, poor Britney Spears, like they just destroyed her, you know? Back in the day, they were really pretty ruthless on her. And you're right, people do feel like, well, if you're on my TV, that gives me, you know, free reign to say whatever I want about you or type, you know, and people can be really hurtful. I just sort of went into this expecting it so that it wouldn't be so shocking and upsetting when it happened to me. And also naturally, I think I'm just like a little bit more thick skinned than your average person. But, you know, what is great, and this is where I have a lot of gratitude, doing the podcast, I was sort of like, I don't know if people are even going to want to be open-minded towards me or what I have to say. Are they even going to listen? You know, and so I was a little apprehensive about it, but I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go for it. But in the podcast, differently than how I was in the on the show, I was like, I'm just going to be myself and see what happens. And fortunately, I was shocked at how quickly people were willing to change their mind and their perspective about me.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, the reason I did Real Lacey on the podcast and not Rock of Love Lacey is primarily because when Rock of Love was being filmed, that was in 2007, as you said. If you think about the world in 2007, or at the very least, United States culture, things were pretty good then. You know, everybody was happy. The housing market crash happened in the U.S. in 2008, and that was kind of devastating to a lot of people. But this was before that. Everything was good. I felt like the world could handle having a villain. And I love villains, you know. But right now, everything is just so dark and divided and negative and upsetting, anxiety-inducing. I'm like, we got enough villains right now. We do not need any more villains. So I decided to put that character to the side and just be me.
Yeah. And it's so good.
And also the thing is I also produce the podcast as well. So I have that advantage. So I don't have to worry like, oh, is some editor going to twist, you know, the perspective and make me look like an idiot. Like I don't have to have that fear, which is really great, which allows me the ability to feel comfortable being vulnerable, opening up, showing the world who I actually am, as opposed to the Rock of Love character.
It was a relief for me, actually, when Ian started telling me some of the stories from the podcast, because I was like, oh, good, right? Because you watch these shows now, and like you say, it was a different climate. It was before Me Too. It was before all that stuff. You watch it now and you think, oh, my God, these poor girls are being fed to the lions, you know? Or, you know, this person quite clearly has a problem and no one's helping them. And I was so relieved to find that not all of it was real. And that, you know, for some people, it obviously was, and they were left raw and they were left, you know, afterwards. But my God, I was terrified for a long while that whole thing was real and that you were like that and that they were kind of pitching woman against woman and you know, because there are fights, there are actual fights in there, and it's not it's not the side of life that, like you say, like we need right now. We need a little bit more peace and understanding, and it's very like full on all the time.
And then I go and look on your Twitter feed. And you know, I'm surprised. You're a delightful human being, doing wonderful. Saying go out and vote, you know, go out and being a delightful, slightly more liberal person than I was expecting. And it's wonderful. It's the same kind of politics as me. But again, it just shows that we had fallen into the trap of believing the TV image.
Yeah, Absolutely.
But that's okay. I wouldn't call it, thank you, by the way, for your kind words. I wouldn't call it a trap, though. That is what it is designed for.
Yeah.
It is a performance designed to entertain. I mean, you, if you go see a movie that you really like, I mean, we all know that it is a movie and these things didn't really happen. But you get, if it's a good movie, you get sucked in, you get drawn in, like in that 2 hour period that you're watching and enjoying this movie, that is real life. You know, it's not, but in the moment it is, you know, so it's designed for that, you know? And as I said, like, it's not scripted, we weren't handed like scripts that we had to read lines and stuff like that. And it really depends on the girl's unique perspective. You know, some of the girls that were really invested in this, it was real. For Brett Michaels, it was half real because he wasn't really looking for love, but all the interactions with each other, the fights, the laughter, everything, that the partying, all of that was, that definitely happened. It was real, you know.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
So you live in Vegas now?
Yes.
And you're married?
Yes.
How long have you been married for?
Since 2013.
Oh, so. Wow. Okay, so fantastic. Yeah. That's great. And you've been in Vegas for the same length of time?
No, my husband and I just moved here about a year ago.
Ah, okay. You're doing the podcast, Talk of Love, which again, I'll post the links. It's on YouTube. If people want to go and watch it, you can download it from wherever you get your podcasts. And at the moment, I'm cherry picking the ones with Rock of Love people. And then I'm going to go back and do the rest because you're so easy to listen to.
Yeah.
How are you finding that? And what else have you been up to?
How am I finding living in Las Vegas?
No, doing the podcast and speaking to other people from those shows.
It has been such a fun, amazing experience, more so than I even anticipated. You know, you go into something like a podcast and you have certain expectations. But the thing that has really stood out to me the most, I am constantly reminded what an amazing job the producers and the casting did in casting these girls for Rock of Love. And also the guys, because I also interview a lot of the guys from I Love New York and Daisy of Love and some of the other shows. These people are such incredible people who are multidimensional. And, you know, it's funny, I make this joke because sometimes when you watch reality shows or any kind of show, you think the person like only lives in that world.
Yeah.
And you think, turn your TV off and they like don't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. And, but it's fun to talk to some of these cast members and really, you know, we kind of dive into their experience on Rock of Love, but we also talk about like, what have you been doing since then? And what did you do before that got you into this? And the types of people that these cast members are is so impressive. The things they do, a lot of them are involved in charities. A lot of them are doing great things with their careers. A lot of them have gotten incredible educations for themselves. You know, some of them have are married and have children, and some of them are entrepreneurs. It's really fascinating to see the path that these people went on, and it makes you realize these are not just one-dimensional people. These are real people with real dreams and goals and aspirations, and it's really cool to see who these people really are and to dissect that. And it's fascinating. I'll give you one example. There is a girl named Miami, and she was on Flavor of Love season 3. And she was also the winner of one of the I Love Money shows. And she always just came across as a really kind of outgoing, strong personality woman. So it turns out that she had two younger brothers who were twins, and they ended up getting really sick, and they were taken to the doctors constantly, and the doctors couldn't figure out why they were sick. And then they finally ran an HIV AIDS test on them, and they were HIV positive. Wow. And then, so it turns out her mother gave birth to her, Miami, but then she married another man and then had the two boys. Turns out nobody knew that man was HIV positive, gave it to the two boys. They passed away. And then her mother ended up contracting as well. And then her mother passed away. And it was devastating. I mean, I can't even imagine. And she said that her and mom were very, very close. And she went on, she picked herself back up. She focused, she did these shows. She did I Love Money. She won it, which the winning prize is $250,000. And then she became a very outspoken advocate for HIV and AIDS and for raising awareness and also for making it not so frightening or taboo. She made it like, this is a socially acceptable thing. We need to be sensitive to this. And so it's so cool that she took such a travesty in her life and turned, and now she's an activist for this cause. And I'm like, that's so cool, you know? So we get lots of stories like that on the podcast.
And what else are you doing? I mean, I obviously this year is hard for anyone to do anything. So this is the time to be podcasting, you know, because we ain't going nowhere. Although vaccine, baby, give me that sweet, sweet vaccine. Yeah. I'm ready for it. Come on, shove it up my ass if you have to.
I don't think that's the way they're doing it.
How I want to take it.
anal vaccines.
Anal vaccines. Please.
I like it. I'm all for it.
What else have you been doing in the last 13 years? I mean, it's a long time. But what else are you doing? Are you still singing? Are you still perform? What other bits and pieces?
Yeah. Well, I mean, as you said, this year has been kind of a bust for everybody. But I had a band called Halo that I wrote a whole album for. And then there's a video up on YouTube for a song called The Stranger, which I'm very proud of. I toured after Rock of Love. I toured a band called Lords of Acid, who's actually based out of Belgium. They're really awesome, like kind of dance clubby band. But one of the things I did that was the most rewarding for me was shortly after filming Rock of Love, I started my own dog rescue organization called Heroes Canine Rescue. And in not just California, in the whole United States, the pet overpopulation is just completely out of control. And so a lot of animals, through no fault of their own, end up in the animal shelters only because there's just too many.
Give us the meat. Give us the meat. Give us the meat. Give us the meat.
People that are able to adopt them. So the shelters end up just putting down, you know, thousands and thousands of dogs every day. So what I would do is I would get some of the dogs out of the shelters that I knew were had been in the shelter for a while and were like on their last days before they were going to be euthanized. So I would foster those dogs in my house, and then I would get to know them and kind of promote, like, you know, put a little profile together for them, like, this is what the dog likes, this one's good with kids, this one's good with cats, and then adopt them out to a forever home. So I did that for 8 years, and that was, I think, in 8 years I rescued and rehomed over 100 dogs.
Oh, come on, man. Love it.
Nice.
Love it. All my cats are rescued. So anyone that does anything like that for animals, I am totally in. When was the last? We will let you go in a minute because I said we'd be 25 minutes. I could talk to you all night because I think you're so fab. But very quickly, when was the last time you saw Brett Michaels from Poison?
Yeah.
I saw him about a year ago. He was on tour, and he played in Las Vegas. And so my husband and I went out to go watch him perform, and then found his crew, like, hey, it's Lacey, I'm here, I'd love to come say hi to Brett. So they gave my husband and I backstage passes. And so we went backstage and got to chat with Brett and all the other guys. And my husband got to meet Brett for the first time.
Wow.
And my husband's a big fan of Poison. So he was just like totally thrilled. And Brett Michaels was like super nice to my husband. It was really funny. And one thing that's really great is there's this one clip that VH1 used to love to show over and over and over. And it was Bret Michaels talking to the camera, and he was talking about me, and he was like, I don't know if she's going to come in and make sweet, passionate love to me
or kill me.
Sleep. Yeah. And so my husband brings up back to Bret, and he is like, and my husband's like, same.
He kept saying that. I think he was obsessed with that idea.
He was obsessed with people.
And I think in his words, it turned him on.
Yes.
I don't want to be mean, but did Bret ever do this in front of you? Because there was something going on there, right?
Well, there was one episode actually where it was the phone sex challenge. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah. Yes.
That was
yes,
hilarious. Hilarious. And I borderline creepy. I don't know if we could do an episode like that today post the Me Too movement, but at the time I can't believe they got away with it. In that challenge, we were wearing like our lingerie and our bedtime clothes, and he was wearing like his pajamas, and he did actually have no hat, no bandana. And he has said in interviews that he does extensions. From my perspective, I'm like, you know what? More power to him. I feel like society is a little bit sexist towards men when it yep. comes to this kind of stuff. Because like women, I mean, some of us are barely human at all. We got fake eyelashes, fake contacts, fake hair, fake boobs, fake ass, fake nails, fake this, fake that. Yeah. But then if a guy does anything, they're like, oh, you're fake, like in the negative context, you know? And so guys like, don't get a break with that stuff. But women, we can have like our plastic everything, you know? So I say, I'm all for like the manscaping and the metrosexual. I'm all for it. And if it makes you feel good and it makes you look good, then go for it. Who cares?
I'm going to do some manscaping later on downstairs.
That's your business, my friend. Wait till I've gone home.
Lacey, we think you're so...
Before or after the anal vaccine?
Do it before. They're like a tidy workspace.
Lacey, we think you're so fab, and it's so lovely to talk to you. I mean, honestly, we're big fans, so it was a real...
It's a relief that you're not going to kill us.
I'm going to ask Lacey to come on. She won't, but then you were so delightful in your emails. The podcast Talk of Love is a joy.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to sell before we say goodbye? Because now is the time to do it.
Well, for $10, I can send you tasteful nudes. And but for some reason, nobody wants them. I don't know.
How much for distasteful nudes? That's what I want.
I would probably say I could get at least like $12.50.
Lacey, we think you're fab. You entertained us so much, and I think you've really cleared up a lot about the show. Yeah. Talk of Love is the podcast. It's on YouTube if you want to go and watch it. If you get it, the podcast to listen to from your usual places, I'll put the links in again as soon as I'm back in my Twitter. Oh, I'll post the links on there. And anytime you want to come on, Lacey, and you know, chat or sell, you know, we get it, then please do. You'd be very, very welcome.
You've gone down like wonderfully.
People are loving you in the chat.
The chat, they're all saying, get her on again. Great guest. Big up, Lacey. Can you bring her back in a few months? So it looks like you might be back again, Lacey, if you don't mind. We'd love it.
I would love to. Anytime. You guys were wonderful. I appreciate you both so, so much. This was so much fun. So anytime, just hit me up.
Thank you. Have a lovely Christmas, Lacey. We'll speak again. Take care.
Bye-bye.
What a delightful human being.
Isn't that interesting? It's so interesting to be able to speak to someone who was on one of those early reality TV shows where the rules were really bendy.
Yeah, what a... fascinating.
Yeah.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more.
Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.